Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Money and Power: How Goldman Sachs Came to Rule the World by William D. Cohen, is a narrative history of how one investment bank grew from a Wall Street partnership into a defining institution of modern finance. Drawing on widely reported events, public records, and the author's experience as a financial journalist, the book tracks Goldman Sachs through mergers, market booms, crises, and the firm's evolving relationship with Washington. Cohen presents Goldman as both a mirror and a driver of broader changes, deregulation, globalization, the rise of complex financial engineering, and an increasingly fluid revolving door between the private sector and government. The story is not simply about profits and deals, it is about culture, incentives, risk-taking, and reputation management in an industry where trust and information can be as valuable as capital. Readers are guided through the personalities and internal dynamics that shaped key choices, while also seeing how those choices affected clients, competitors, and the stability of the financial system. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, from partnership to public company and global power, a central topic is Goldman Sachs' transformation in structure and ambition, moving from a traditional partnership model to a publicly traded global powerhouse. The partnership era emphasized long-term survival, tight internal discipline, and personal liability, which shaped a culture of intense performance and cautious reputation management. As markets expanded and competitors scaled, Goldman's leadership pursued growth through new lines of business and international reach, culminating in decisions that reshaped incentives across the firm. Going public is portrayed as more than a capital-raising event. It changes who the firm is accountable to, how compensation is justified, and how risk is priced. The shift also amplifies pressure to produce steady earnings and win league table status in investment banking and trading. This topic helps readers understand why Wall Street institutions evolve toward size and complexity, and how governance and ownership affects day-to-day behavior. Cohen situates these moves within broader market forces, including deregulation and globalization, showing how Goldman's strategy aligned with a financial system that rewarded speed, innovation, and scale. The result is a framework for interpreting later controversies as consequences of structural evolution, not only of individual choices. Secondly, the Goldman culture, talent, competition, and the pursuit of edge, Cohen devotes significant attention to Goldman's internal culture, the talent pipeline, and the competitive ethos that became part of the firm's identity. The book examines how recruiting, promotion, and compensation practices can create a self-reinforcing environment in which high performers are rewarded quickly and dissent can be costly. This culture is often framed as intensely meritocratic, data-driven, and client-oriented, yet also relentlessly strategic about information and positioning. Readers see how internal consensus building, management committees, and leadership succession influence decision-making and risk appetite. The topic matters because a firm's culture determines how individuals interpret ambiguous situations, what counts as serving clients, how conflicts are managed, and when aggressive tactics are considered acceptable. Cohen uses public episodes and well-known market battles to illustrate how Goldman's people and processes prioritize speed, preparation, and reputation defense. The discussion also highlights how a culture that produces excellence can simultaneously create blind spots, especially when success becomes proof that the system is correct. For readers, this topic clarifies why Goldman could excel across cycles and why the same traits could intensify public suspicion during downturns and crises. Thirdly, financial innovation, trading power, and the risk question. Another major theme is Goldman's role in the rise of modern trading, structured products, and complex financial innovation. Cohen explores how the firm built sophisticated capabilities in markets, using quantitative tools, derivatives, and securitization to meet client demand and generate revenue. This topic is not presented as a simple morality tale of innovation versus prudence. It shows how new instruments can be simultaneously useful and dangerous, depending on incentives, transparency, and market conditions. The book connects the growth of trading and structured finance to the broader system's increasing dependence on liquidity, leverage, and confidence. Readers are guided through how risk is measured, hedged, and sometimes misunderstood, especially when models assume stability that reality does not provide. The narrative underscores that innovation can outpace regulation and even internal comprehension, creating vulnerabilities that become visible only under stress. This section also illuminates why Goldman's reputation for risk management became both a competitive advantage and a lightning rod. When outcomes are good, discipline is praised. When markets break, discipline is questioned. The topic equips readers to interpret debates about whether financial complexity creates real economic value or primarily redistributes gains and losses. Fourthly, government, regulation, and the revolving door of influence, Cohen examines Goldman's influence in policy circles and the recurring movement of personnel between the firm and government roles. This topic focuses on how expertise, relationships, and credibility can translate into informal power, especially during crises when policymakers rely on seasoned market participants. The book highlights that influence is not only about lobbying, it can arise from shared networks, technical knowledge, and the perception that certain institutions are essential to market stability. This creates a tension that runs through the story. Society benefits from experienced decision makers, yet it also risks regulatory capture, unequal access, and public distrust. Cohen situates Goldman within a larger ecosystem where major banks and the state are intertwined through market plumbing, debt issuance, and crisis management. The narrative encourages readers to consider how rules are made, how enforcement priorities shift, and how political incentives shape financial outcomes. By showing the feedback loop between Wall Street innovation and Washington response, this topic clarifies why reforms can be reactive and why loopholes persist. It also helps explain why Goldman, more than many peers, became a symbol in public debates about fairness, accountability, and the legitimacy of modern capitalism. Lastly, crisis, reputation, and the moral debate around Wall Street, the book culminates in the social and reputational consequences of financial upheaval, exploring how Goldman became a focal point for anger and suspicion during periods of market distress. Cohen addresses the gap between internal narratives of prudent management and external perceptions of opportunism, especially when ordinary households experience losses and insecurity. This topic looks at how reputations are built over decades, yet can be reshaped quickly by headlines, investigations, and political rhetoric. It also examines the difficulty of assigning responsibility in a complex system where many actors contribute to booms and busts, but where prominent institutions draw the most attention. The narrative invites readers to think about ethical questions that are rarely straightforward. What does it mean to serve clients when interests conflict? How should firms balance shareholder returns with systemic stability? When does legal behavior still feel illegitimate to the public? By situating Goldman's controversies within the broader architecture of incentives, competition, and regulation, Cohen pushes readers to see crisis not as an accident, but as an outcome of choices made under pressure. This final theme leaves readers with a nuanced understanding of why trust is the most fragile asset in finance and why restoring it is harder than defending it. In conclusion, this book is best for readers who want to understand how a single firm can shape markets, politics, and public attitudes toward capitalism, including business students, professionals outside finance, policymakers, and general readers curious about the 2000s era and its aftermath. It benefits the reader by turning abstract ideas like leverage, securitization, risk management, and regulatory influence into a coherent story with clear stakes. By following the evolution of Goldman Sachs, you also learn how incentives change when organizations scale, go public, and compete globally, lessons that apply to many industries where complexity and speed can outrun governance. Compared with many crisis-era books that focus narrowly on one event, Cohen's approach emphasizes the long arc, culture, leadership, institutional memory, and the repeated feedback loop between Wall Street innovation and Washington response. That broader scope makes it easier to see patterns instead of isolated scandals. The book is worth buying if you want a detailed, readable narrative that connects personalities and strategy to systemic outcomes, helping you form a more informed view of both the legitimate functions of finance and the real risks it can impose on society. If you would like to support William D.D. Cohen, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.